Both the Old Testament and the New Testament tell us that God made a covenant with his people, the Jewish people. God gave them the law. He called transgressions against the law sin. God also made a promise to his people regarding the law. He said in Leviticus 18:5, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which, if a man do, he shall live in them." God said that keeping the law would give a person life. Paul repeated this idea in Galatians 3:12, saying about the law, "The man that doeth them shall live in them." Well, we know that people in the Old Testament living under the law did not get eternal life at that time because Jesus came to bring God's people more abundant life. However, if a person under the law kept the law, such as the Ten Commandments, God would remember that soul and preserve it, even if the person's physical body died, until the time when the soul could get eternal life. This plan of remembrance was spoken of in Malachi 3:16 and called a book of remembrance. Eternal life came when Christ brought a deeper depth of spirit called grace. This spirit of grace was prophesied of in the Old Testament in Zechariah 12:10 and 13:1, which said, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." So the spirit of grace is for sin and uncleanness. Christ brought this deeper spirit of grace as we read in John 1:17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So keeping the Ten Commandments only in the natural came to an end when Christ brought a deeper depth of spirit, called grace, to the world. Christ took the law off of the tables of stone and brought it into the fleshy tables of the heart, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:3. Now people could learn to change even the motive behind their action. Jesus says this in Matthew 5, giving several examples of the new standard of holiness required of believers. He compared the standard of holiness under the Old Testament with the standard of holiness under the New Testament depth of spirit. First of all, in Matthew 5:21 and 22, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." By saying this, Jesus made it clear that it was no longer just the act of murder that one was responsible for. In the New Covenant depth of spirit, we're responsible for even the thought, the motive behind the action. Again, in Matthew 5:27 and 28, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery in his heart." Jesus said that even the thought of adultery was sin. It was no longer just the act of adultery that one was responsible for. In the New Covenant depth of spirit, we are responsible for even the thought, the motive behind the action. Again, in Matthew 5:43 and 44, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Once again, Jesus said that the standard of holiness under the New Covenant depth of spirit had changed. It was no longer permissible to hate one's enemies. Now we're responsible for even the thought, the motive of hate. The Apostle John made the same point in 1 John 3:15 when he said, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." Jesus sums up this New Testament standard of righteousness in Matthew 5:48 when he said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jesus brought a depth of spirit whereby people could become spiritually perfect, just as God the Father is spiritually perfect. For those people that believe spiritual perfection is impossible, this raises a question. If we still cannot reach spiritual perfection, what did the New Covenant do that the Old Covenant couldn't? People under the Old Covenant, under a law depth of spirit, could not rid their minds of evil thoughts that were contrary to God's laws of life. These evil thoughts are called evil spirits in the scriptures. These evil spirits, evil thoughts, would cause people to sin. People under the old covenant could keep evil thoughts bound in their mind. In other words, they had the power to just not let these thoughts work outwardly toward another human being. And thereby, they could live within the bounds of the law, just as we saw in Matthew chapter 5. People were not to kill or commit adultery under the law. But people at that time were not able to be free from an evil thought, such as murder, hatred, or adultery. Once an evil thought had conceived within someone's mind, they were stuck with it. Under the law, they did not have the depth of power promised to come in the new covenant, as we saw in Zechariah 12:10 and 13:1 and 2, the spirit of grace for sin and for uncleanness. This New Testament also speaks of this power, as in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But many people today, even people who consider themselves to be Christians, still seem to be living under the law, because they do not understand the difference between the old covenant depth of spirit and the new covenant depth of spirit. They are still governed by the old laws, such as the Ten Commandments, but keeping them only in the natural. It is a good thing, we agree, not to lie, not to steal, not to kill, not to commit adultery. But why did Jesus indicate that refraining from the action was not enough under the new covenant depth of spirit? Why did Jesus say that in the new covenant depth, people would be accountable for even the thought of hate and the thought of adultery? It was because Jesus had brought a depth of spirit that could make people free from those thoughts, as he said in John 8:32 and 36, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The freedom that Jesus offered was the power to remove evil thoughts from a mind. Because a deeper power was available, the standard of righteousness was higher. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that under the new depth of spirit, being angry with one's brother unjustly would cause someone to be in danger of the judgment, and looking on a woman to lust after her was the same as committing adultery with her in his heart. The depth of spirit Christ brought was called grace, as we saw before in John 1:17. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What effect does grace have on evil? As we saw in Zechariah 12:10 and 13:1, the spirit of grace was to remove sin and uncleanness. We can see an example of the fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew 9:1 through 7. They brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Jesus went on to say to the people present, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." And he arose, and departed to his house. What happened when Jesus used grace to forgive this man of the sin that caused his physical ailment? The palsy was gone, proving the sin had been cast out. This is quite different from the way some people say that we must learn to suppress evil thoughts. Jesus did not teach people to suppress evil thoughts. He gave them power to cast them out. The sin causing the palsy was not suppressed. It was cast out. Many people today believe you've got to sin a little every day. But Jesus did not teach that. In fact, he brought a power to truly cast out, remove, and divorce an evil thought from someone's mind. This was different from the old covenant. It's also different from the way many people believe today. Why did the Apostle John say that to love one another was an old commandment and a new commandment at the same time? In 1 John 2, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So we call it an old commandment and a new commandment. And he went on in 1 John 3:11 to say, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Well, the law taught people, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness, don't covet anything that is your neighbor's. And in Leviticus 19:18, we were taught, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's clear from these scriptures that to love one another was an old commandment. So why did John say it was a new commandment? Well, John gave us the answer in 1 John 2:8, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This is why John called it a new commandment. Darkness is symbolic of evil, as we read in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness." John said that the darkness was past. He meant there was a power available to enable people to actually remove an evil thought from their mind. A person could use that power to remove any evil thought he might have, and the darkness would be past for him. He could truly live in the light. He could now truly be motivated by love and no longer need to depend on a rigid set of rules to govern his outward behavior toward other people. He could use the power of grace that Jesus brought and cast out any thought that might want to kill, steal, commit adultery, or covet something that was his neighbor's. He could grow God's love within his mind to motivate him in doing good toward other souls. Paul said, love fulfilled the law in Romans 13:10, when he said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Also in 1 Corinthians 13:5, Paul said that charity, which is another word for love, thinketh no evil. So what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament depth of spirit? In the Old Testament, people could only bind an evil thought to keep it from speaking or acting out toward another person. They could not remove or cast out an evil thought from their mind. In the New Testament depth of spirit, called grace, we can be without sin. By using the power of grace to remove or cast out any evil thought we might have had or conceived during our lifetime. Many people do not believe it is possible to live without sin, but there are many scriptures that show this to be true. For example, Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. These scriptures do not imply that we have to sin a little every day. John didn't say, just try not to sin. John didn't say, don't commit sin habitually. John understood the power of grace that Jesus brought would remove evil thoughts from people's minds and they would no longer sin. Just as when Jesus removed the sin from the man's mind, the man no longer had the palsy caused by the sin. This freedom from sin does not happen in a one-time experience. Just as in gardening, we must be taught how to discern the difference between a good plant and a weed, so it is in our mind. We must be taught to discern the difference between a life-giving thought and one that robs us of life. Life-giving thoughts are from God. Thoughts that rob us of life, such as bitterness, unloved feelings, hate, hurt, they are not from God, they are sin. Peter, James, John, and Paul, and other believers at the time of Christ, learned how to remove evil thoughts from their minds and lives. We can be taught how to use the power of grace that Jesus brought to become free from sin in this life. We don't have to live with sin in our minds, and we don't have to be content to just suppress it any longer. Free from sin means free from sin. The promise of the New Testament is we can cast out evil thoughts and grow in knowledge of God while we are free from sin in this life.